All right, can you sit down? Before you do that, turn to two, three people and tell the person, today, good things have come to you.
Good things have come to you.
Turn to somebody else, tell the person.
Today, good things
have come to you. Yes, turn to somebody else.
Today, good things have come to you.
All right. Let's take our seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, let's open our Bibles. I want us to continue from where we stopped, and we are going to round off everything today. Let's start from where we're just going to read what we read last time, and then we'll add on two more verses to it, and then we'll pick up from there. Psalm 78 is the one we are going to read first of all. Now, because of the fact that we have read it last time, I'm not going to read much of it. Let's start from verse 5. He said, "The Lord has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God." Notice that. Their confidence must be in God. God has written a testimony to the end that we will put our confidence in him and not forget his works, but keep his commandments. Now notice this, we are supposed to keep his commandments, not forget his works, and then not be like the fathers, that is the fathers in Israel, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now look at the manifestation of it. Their hearts were not prepared, their spirits were not faithful to God. So he said in verse 9, "The sons of Ephraim were archers, equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law." I'm going to stop reading here. I like the way King James says it there. He said, those people being armed, I like that. He said they were archers, equipped with bows. They were armed. Yet, despite the fact that they were armed, they turned back in the day of battle. And when they did that, what they did was to break the covenant of God, even though he had something strong on their side. They made his work of no effect. They made his power of no effect. That way they broke the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Bear that in mind. Let's open to the other one again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read that last time also. Now, one thing you will find with Paul again and again is this matter of grace. Now, I just want to bring out something that he said we read the last time. Let's just go there immediately. In chapter 6. Let's just go to chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "And walking together with him, Paul said, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you." Please notice that. "But now," he said, "behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, let's just stop reading that one there. Last of all, the book of Romans chapter 4. Now, we didn't read this one last time, so I'm just going to take some time here to read it. Now, we're reading from verse 13 we can't read everything, so let's just pick it from somewhere. It says, "For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he will be the heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It was not through the law. This was given through him through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath." He said, "But where there is no law, there is no violation. For this reason," he says, "it is by faith." Now notice that. "In order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Let me stop reading here again. We're trying to save time. I just want to bring some things out here. Notice that he said that for this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace. Now, I needed to bring that one in for a particular reason. Now, I've read these three portions to just complete something we have been talking about. We are ending today, as you know, so I have to end the teaching today on the matter of grace. Now, where do I start this from now? Okay, I'll just summarize what we said last time, the last two times, in a few sentences. One, grace is God's power that works towards those who believe. And that grace is available to us in Christ Jesus. Grace is not the excuse that we have to continue to walk short of God's glory. It is not. It is not. It is not the excuse. What is grace? It is a power that God releases to make it possible for us to walk in a manner that is pleasing to Him. Grace is not that which God uses to cover my own inadequacies in that I continue walking in those inadequacies. No. Grace is that though you can't do this by yourself, are you getting my point? A power comes to make it doable for you. So that if you're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, you will find the strength to stand against them. Are you getting my point? That is what grace is. Grace is that your name is Daniel. Your name is Shadrach. Well, I like their Hebrew names. Your name is Hananiah, Azariah. Your name is Mishael. Grace is that you go into Babylon, you don't bow to idols. Are you getting my point? Grace is that you go into Babylon, you understand? They are not able to make you eat things you are not supposed to eat. Grace is that power that makes you stand, even though everybody has gone on their knees. You are getting my point? Even though you stand, you look to your left, you look to the right, the whole of the nation is bound before one great image that Nebuchadnezzar had built. Grace is that thing that makes you keep standing, even though your life is at risk. You get the point here? Grace is not that, God knows that we don't want to bow, but what else are we going to do? Let's just bow so that it will not annoy people. Grace is not that, you see, we have to use wisdom in this world that you are in. That's not it. I said that every generation has its own problems. There are moral problems, okay? And a young woman stands in the midst of the moral depravity and keeps himself and keeps herself clean. That is grace. How did you do it? I am what I am by the grace of God. That's number one. The second thing about grace is that when you are inadequate in yourself, Paul says, our sufficiency is of God, who has made us capable, or able, or sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. That's what grace is. Grace means that there will be hindrances around, but despite the hindrances, I will be able to accomplish the plan that God has for my life. Please, I hope you're getting that point. That's what grace is. That is, despite the difficulties, I'll be able to accomplish what God wants me to do. That's what grace is. We're just trying to remind ourselves of those things. Now, last time I now talked about the fact that we must not receive this grace in vain. What does it mean to receive the grace in vain? That's what we've been looking at. We began that last time. And that's when you go to battle, you see the giants, then you turn your back the day of battle, even though you have the power of God available to walk with you. That's what it means to receive the grace of God in vain. The people of Israel, we saw here, they were armed. Let's look at it from a spiritual perspective. They were able. The Bible says clear to us. God made it clear to them. Moses made it clear to them. Joshua, Caleb argued it with them. We are well able. God is with us. We can take the promised land. But in the day of battle, what did they do? They turned their backs. They broke the covenant of God. They were able. What did happen? They received the grace of God, what? In vain. Paul said, when I received the grace of God, and it did not prove vain, it was as if I was laboring more than the other people. That is, you see me work harder than all the other apostles, even though I was the least of them. I was the last of those big apostles to be called to ministry. He said, but I labored more than them. Now, this is the point. It was not I, it was what? The grace of God. That is, I did not receive the grace of God in vain. So this is the logic for us. I mean, this is the derivation for us as believers in Christ Jesus. Challenges will occur in life. Paul said that God said to him, that my grace is sufficient for you. He said, therefore, I will boast in my weaknesses. What was he trying to say? He said, God said, my power is made perfect in your weakness. That is, when I have a weakness, that is when God can do what he really wants to do. If I'm fully qualified and able, what God will be able to do in my life is limited. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. if I'm qualified and able in myself, what God is able to do in my life is limited. For that reason, when I find deficiencies, I'm excited. If it's the area of my calling, it doesn't bother me. If you are called to ministry, you know, I remember once I asked a man, why are you moving your ministry to Lagos? You know what he said to me? Lagos is where people that will help you are. That is where you will find people that help you. And that is why a lot of people move their headquarters to Lagos. Now, I'm not saying don't move to Lagos. Okay? Just have a good reason. That one is a bad reason. One of our brothers called me the other day. Let me first read this scripture out. By the grace of God, I am what I am. It's his power working towards me that is not proven. All right? What I'm about to say. One of our brothers called me the other day and we're speaking. He said one of the things he likes about Kingdom World Ministries. He said, we don't print posters. We don't do flyers. You don't see billboards. That he doesn't see, you know, that. No, he wasn't trying. He was just telling him that one of the things he likes, that push, that's drive, guru. He said he doesn't, that we don't do it. He now said, but the impact is profound. That's what I'm giving a quotation. He's a preacher. He said the only person he can compare this with is Kenneth Copeland Ministries. There doesn't any other ministry that operates like that. Now, what I'm trying to bring out something here. You know, those days when I first finished my, when I needed to settle down somewhere, people said I should settle in Lagos. That's what I was told to do. That's where the opportunities are. Opportunities for what is what I don't understand for people. You have to know what your opportunities in life are for. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you have to know what they are for. Derek Prince said what he was looking for was a quiet place where he could do a lot of writing. Do you get what I'm saying? So that when he was moving around, when he moved from UK that time, from London, he moved to Canada. They gave him a job in a school, in a Bible school. And the conditions they gave him was perfect for him so that he could do his writing. When he got there, they did not fulfill their promises, so he had to leave. And this time around, I now moved to the US. So I'm trying to explain, be careful what you call opportunities. Don't let the world, you understand, be dictating to you what's an opportunity and what's not an opportunity. Let me stick on that for a moment. When Oluchi, Face of Africa, remember Oluchi? Yes. That one Face of Africa. So I told them that, of course, you know the way they like to deceive us. They said that this girl was selling bread. Can you imagine? I say it's a lie. Number one, there's nothing wrong with selling bread. Amen? Because she was hawking bread. So what? Fola Adeola used to hawk oranges. You know who Fola Adeola is? Founding MD of GTB. Former chairman. Is this the chairman? Anyway, former chairman of GTB, former VP, aspirant for one of the big political parties, one of those very big Nigerians. He too used to hawk orange. So what's the big deal? So he was hawking bread. But that's a lie. The girl was going to school. She wasn't hawking bread like a profession. She was a secondary school student. So they said that she won Face of Africa. I said, what kind of joke is this? I said, it was my sister. You're not going anywhere. I said, it's an opportunity. That's why I'm talking about it. This is an opportunity. I say opportunity to do what? That's the question I always ask people. Opportunity to do what? Poverty is a terrible thing. Not physical poverty, mental poverty. Yeah. They gave the poor girl a contract worth $150,000 to work as a model for 3 years. People didn't read between the lines. They thought that she won lottery, $150,000. No. They were going to pay her $50,000 a year to be working. You're not angry yet. You should be angry. It was annoying. I said, they didn't dash this girl $150,000. They gave her $150,000 contract to work, which meant if she did not work, she didn't get a dime. And she was 16 or 17, and she was going to go to Paris. And you call that an opportunity. If you think it's an opportunity, I think you should see a doctor. That's what I think. I think your blood sugar is too high. It's draining water from your brain. You're not thinking well again. That's by the way. Okay, let me not go beyond that. But when people are very, very poor in their minds, anything that's abroad is opportunity. It's not an opportunity. Finish your school, all right? Become something important. You can go anywhere when you want to go there later. All right, I'm just being honest. Be careful what they call opportunity, okay? Now, for me, that's what I was told then. I said, opportunity for what? What I'm supposed to do is what I should be looking out for, not where... You know, what people think is opportunity to make money and to become big and become influential. Now, let me get back to my message. The point is that we came to Enugu. And I remember we climbed up here when we finally started meeting here. And my wife and I prayed that from here, this word that we are preaching will go around the world. I did not invent the internet, did I? No, I did not. I didn't at all. I've never bought a radio station. I've not started a TV station. I've not started any, I didn't start printing presses, nothing. All I did was to sit down and teach and write and teach and write and teach and write. Then the Lord by himself put those things on eagle's wings and made them fly all over the world. You are getting what I'm going to explain here? That's why the brother told me that he said he liked, that is, according to him, without, you know, human stress, effort, that this thing is impacting people. That's what Paul meant when he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Please, you are getting my point here. I need to emphasize it again. What grace means is that there is no hindrance that can stop you from becoming what God created you to be. There's none. You are the only one that can refuse and say, I'm not doing it. That's the point I'm trying to make. Satan will put obstacles in front of people. What is the obstacle? Really, the obstacle he really can put, the real one, and I'm not talking about the fake one. He puts a lot of fake obstacles. The real one he can put is in our minds, is to come and tell you, you can't. Why did the sons of Ephraim, being armed, turn back in the day of battle? I'll tell you the truth. They were told they could not do it. 10 spies came back and told them, you can't handle this matter. They believed it, and that was why they turned back in the day of battle, even though there was grace with them. Please, let's get it clear. What happens to people is that God, listen, anytime God sends you on an errand, anytime, you know what he says? Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. I was in Lagos. A man who spends his energy preaching the gospel. I talked about my friend in the north. No, Jesus just went there. He said to me, man of God, that's how he speaks to me. He's a man of God. If God tells me to go there, I'm not sure I can go. If God tells him to go to the north to go and preach, I'm not sure I can go. He didn't say I'm not sure I can go. He said, I won't go. That was the way he said it. I laughed. I told him that, listen, the reason why you can't go is because you don't have the grace to go. And the reason why you don't have the grace is because you have not been sent to go. I don't know whether you got my point. I said, so it's looking like insurmountable. It's looking like a big thing. I said, if God calls you to go, you will find the grace to go. That's what grace does for us. And I want people to, that's what we've been talking about. I want us to bear that in mind. Grace is divine ability. What he's just saying, this is how grace works. God always gives us something small to do so he can do something big. What am I going to explain? Let me just say it again. You divide the Red Sea. The Red Sea will not be able to stop you. Your name is Moses. You are delivering the people of Israel. They are all behind you. They are all crying out to you. Trouble is following them. You are supposed to deliver 2 million people. Now, how fast can you make boats? How fast can you train them to become seafarers? How fast can you do this to get them across the Red Sea? The Egyptians are behind. But this is what grace does. Listen to this. Grace says, I will help Moses cross the Red Sea with 2 million people. So he says to Moses, what are you going to do? He says, Moses, take up your rod and divide the sea. Now listen to this. Grace does not mean Moses will go and sleep. I said, guys, don't worry. There's no problem. Which is what some people think grace is. Grace provokes labor. It provokes his own labor. God gives you something to do so that he can do what he wants to do. So what happens to Moses? The Lord told him, take the rod and stretch it over the sea. Now we've talked about that here again and again from that Exodus. Now the point I want to bring out is that Moses getting 2 million people to cross, that's not an easy deal in itself. But then God gave him something small to do, which was still work. He had to lift up the rod the whole night. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Just imagine that they say, okay, what do we do to stop all the economic trouble? You are a governor of a state. You understand? Stop, instead of building statues and creating ministries of happiness. The Lord said you will stand up the whole night and then you'll be praying, but your hands must be up the whole night. If you are feeling sleepy, your hands must be up. If you are feeling happy, your hands must be up. You must be waving the hands, lifting up one hand. Now listen to me, compared to the effect the Lord wants to have, lifting up the hand is not a hard work. I don't know what I get my point. It's not hard labor compared with the effect that it's going to have in your life. However, you have to lift up the hands. I don't know whether I get the point. In itself, it looks like hard labor. But when you compare with what it's going to do, it's easy. Let me give you an example. I was giving the testimony of Kingdom World Ministries. If I was telling my wife about 2 nights ago, we were talking about it. I said, this really has been our year of multiplication. No, we've been declaring it. And I hear mind-boggling testimonies a lot of times. Now, was it our work? No. Was it our labor? No. Compared to the effect it had? No. I told you one young man wrote us and said he has listened to these messages for more, that if he says 3,000 hours, it's not an exaggeration. Today, my wife and I were calculating. I said, okay, yeah, it's doable. I did Bishop with Edipo 500 hours in just a few months. So somebody listens to me for 3 years, he can't do 3,000 hours without a lot of stress. Are you getting my point here? If he did like 6 years, I was saying 5 to 6 years. Okay? Now, this is the point I want to make. Could somebody have forced all these things to happen? No. But believe me, you'll be surprised that January to November, you know, you won't be surprised, you know about it. January to November, we normally close in December, all right? Every Saturday, predictably, I was in Enugu. It's only when did I start disappearing on Saturdays? I think it was about 3 years ago. That's about 3 years ago, I started living in Enugu on Saturdays. From 2003 to 2013, 2014, every Saturday, it was guaranteed I would be here, standing here. It was guaranteed, apart from once in May, when I go for my Lukav convention. I went for family weddings, family people wedding in Benin, and I'll get back here. My auntie was buried in Owo. On a Saturday, I still got back here. In case you don't know, driving from here to Owo is 6 hours. My mother's younger sister, they did the every way, keep everything, did stuff on Friday. Saturday morning, we all went to church. My mother and her friend were in my car. I drove there. I had explained to my mother, you know I have a ministry to run. She said, I understand. I got to church, dropped them. As everybody was entering, filing in for the funeral, I turned my car and headed back to Enugu to come and preach to how many people. 6 hours non-stop, I'm driving. We'll go for family weddings, you understand? Church where everybody's there, we're doing everything, doing the service. We'll go for reception, of course, we'll take pictures. Reception as they are going in. I come down the road, lock up my car, we enter into the hall, I call my wife to the side. Is there anything you want me to do in Enugu? I know. I don't tell, I won't tell my father-in-law. They will find out at night I did not attend the reception. They won't know. Enter the car. There was a day, my car said, oh, you don't do, stop in Onitsha. I was headed by one of those kind of days like that. I was, okay, oh, this one, oh, and I remember what happened, this particular one. My wife, of course, my wife delivered. She was staying with her mother. So I went to see my family Saturday. I was not rushing back to come to Enugu. So I rushed, I came out, I drove. I got to Asaba, the car did some own funny breakdowns. I said, this car, you're not stopping. You. So I must have prayed. I can't remember praying, but I must have prayed. I'm a man of God. I'm a child of God. I pray. So I blew past Onitsha. After passing through Onitsha, I don't know where I got to. I forgot the name of those areas. The car finally started slowing down. And it stopped. Ah! You know what I was checking? How to get here by 5 o'clock. So I, good enough, as God, there was nobody in my house. Good enough that day, I called Kingsley. Kingsley was the everything. It was Israel, Okemute, Felix, combined. You know, Kingsley was everything. Started the prayer, took the announcement. He did everything apart from do the preaching. So I called Kingsley. Go to my house. I think he had a copy of my keys. Open the door. Go here. You will find this key somewhere. Take my wife's car. Go and pick the mechanic. They drove almost to Onitsha. So I told the mechanic on the phone what was wrong. He said, okay, no problem. He'll bring a battery. So they brought another battery. By the time I got here, that was one day. I mean, people were down. They don't close the meeting. They were waiting for. Go back to Enugu by 7 o'clock. After waiting, oh, God. So Paul said, I labored. There was labor.
Yes.
That's the point I'm trying to make. There was labor. If you read a track like Cheerful Giver, I wrote it at the sitting. Read a track like This Is Faith, I wrote it at the sitting. I started writing This Is Faith. I wrote it a number of days. Then one day I came to continue the tract. I just wiped out everything I'd written. Started again. Read after This Is Faith. It's one sitting. What do you call this other book? Great Faith Can Be Yours. I wrote it in 2 weeks. I went for a course in the U.S. I was writing a particular book, which I never finished till today. I've not finished that one till today. I don't even know where. I was writing that, writing. Then one day, I just had an idea. Why did the widow of Zarephath believe a stranger like Elijah? The Holy Spirit just breathed the understanding into my head. I dumped the other book and began to write. I finished the book, only came to do some revision when I came back in 2 weeks. My friends who because I was staying with my brother-in-law, and 2 weeks after, my course was like a whole month. 2 weeks after I got to Houston, he left. He came back to Nigeria. So I was not living alone, a JJC in the United States. But I've been nice to say with people that, and my friends were there. Bro Solomon and his wife, Evarista, they said, oh no, Banky, you can't be staying alone, move out to our house. I'm a big house. They had a beautiful suburban house in the white area in Katy. I said, I thought about it. In fact, we had plotted how I'd be moving from there to my office, the hospital where I was doing my course. We had plotted it. I looked at it, I said, no. If I do this, I will have to talk with them in the evening. You know, they will feel they have to keep me entertained, maybe go out once in a while, visit. I said, no, I'm writing a book. I didn't tell them I'm writing a book. I just said, no, it's okay with me staying alone. Listen, that one, as soon as I get back home every day, I will write till it's 12 midnight. By that time, it will be 6 a.m. in Nigeria, so I can call my wife, which is for 30 minutes, so she gets up to go and get the kids ready, get the day started. Then, me, that's when I now go to sleep. I did that every day for about 2 weeks, and I finished the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. He said, I labored more than them all. I hope you're getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
So when we're talking about grace, it's not as if you don't do anything. It's not as if you don't do anything. It's just the last few, then you invited me to go and preach. It mustn't include Saturday. If it included Saturday, I wouldn't go. Pastor Bangu, I'm inviting you. Where? Not in Enugu. Sorry, I can't go. A whole year will pass. I will miss Saturday here only maximum of 2 times. I don't know how it used to happen. One of them be my local. You know, my annual pilgrimage. You understand? Please, I hope you are getting my point here. Now, but all of this is just on one pulpit here. It's not just here. It didn't go anywhere. It did not open the doors in Lagos. It did not open the doors in Port Harcourt. It did not open the doors outside the country. It didn't do it. It was just here. But God said, do that. That is Moses carrying his hands up so that I can do what I want to do of opening the Red Sea. Grace does not make you lazy. Grace makes you put the right effort into the right place so that God can do what he wants to do at the right time. Let's bear it in mind. My emphasis is that the grace is available. Don't let the obstacles of life scare you. Let me say that again. Don't let the obstacles of life scare you. The grace is available. When you hear negative news, like the economic situation around you, that is the same news, the same kind of news that the sons of Ephraim heard and they turned their back in the day of battle. Do you get my point? Get this book, read it. The price is not greater than God's grace. Is that the name of the book? The story of Oretha Hagin, Kenny Hagin's wife. I think the price is not greater than God's grace, something like that. That Oretha wrote the story of her life, how she was wife to Kenneth Hagin. Of course, how they did the ministry together. Look, every ministry has one person in front. Eh? But that's not the only person doing the ministry. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Kenneth Hagin, you hear. Kenneth Hagin. But as far as I'm concerned, Oretha Hagin was as important as Kenneth Hagin. Oretha Hagin was with him from the beginning till the end. Yeah, you getting my point? So she had to pay a price too. But she now wrote a book. The price is not greater than the grace of God to fulfill the call that he has placed upon your life. It's a good book to read. I think you should read it. All right? It's a story of Oretha Hagin. What am I going to say? Life will throw obstacles as it seems in your direction. Don't ever forget. The grace is always available. Every time you hear stories like these things, a man told me the other day that, look, these are the issues in the country. You understand? He's thinking of leaving the country. Why? Now, like I said, what do you call an opportunity? Don't ever forget that thing. What is the opportunity? When they say that this is an opportunity, I always ask people, opportunity to do what? Many people have walked away from destiny because somebody gave them an opportunity. A young man wrote me long ago. He was in school, an engineering student. Somebody gave him an opportunity to travel abroad. There was only one problem. He didn't have money to take advantage of the opportunity. So he wrote me a mail. So I deleted the mail fast so that I won't know his name. And it's the kind of name you finish reading. So if I read it again, I will know who wrote it. Click, finish reading the nonsense, I clicked. Delete. What was my issue? From what he told me, he was like halfway through his education as an engineering student. Then somebody opened the door to go to North America for him. And I said it was an opportunity. I couldn't get it. Opportunity to abandon your studies. Opportunity for what? Please, can somebody explain to me what the opportunity in it? Opportunity to go to America. And you see, you know what the opportunity costs? When you are doing something, you are losing something. So what you are losing, what you are gaining, is it more than what you are going to lose? I looked at him, I didn't know who to, but I felt like telling the young man that, how stupid can an adult be? You are going to get to the United States, young man, with no qualification. I know the way those guys work. Your life is much better if you just get over there with that qualification. He said, no, why I'm telling the story is that, he's like, he said, hey, sir, I don't want to lose this opportunity. I said, opportunity, you know, somebody lied to him, he didn't know who he was writing to. One day, two young men appeared here. They came all the way from Nsukka, maybe one of the villages around Nsukka. It must be. So we had a program. We finished the program here. They said they wanted to see me. So they talked to one of our co-workers. They wanted to see me. He said what? That they heard that I help people go to America. Did you hear what I said? They came all the way to Enugu for our seminar, not to come and hear me preach. Two of them, they said they heard that I helped people go to the United States. People are very gullible in this life. Obviously, they don't listen to me. So what I assumed is that maybe somebody told them. Maybe somebody wanted to correct their brains. So they said, go and listen to this guy. That's what I think. They came from Nsukka. They didn't have money. They didn't know anybody in town. Ah, God, please deliver us from stupidity and emptiness of head. Please, you should pray that prayer for your neighbors. Just wake up one morning, look to your left and say, Lord, may no stupid man or empty head live in my neighborhood. All the empty head, God, fill it with information. Yeah, because they came to Enugu, they didn't know anybody. They didn't have money. It was Yinka and Koda, were not looking for where they would sleep overnight. Why? They said, Pastor Bangi helps people go to America. When my reputation is that those who were going, they listened to me, they came back home. I'm not kidding. One woman, she ended up going anyway, but I heard the story. One day I was teaching on radio. She had arranged everything. When she heard me teach for 30 minutes on radio, her faith disappeared. She almost did not travel. I heard later that, you know, someone was so pressing. I said, yes. He said, you almost convinced her not to travel. That was my job. I mean, that's what I did. The Lord is good. Well, they said, those guys, they had to find a way. They used to do night browsing in those days. So, you can't go just arrange for them to go and browse all night. At least you have. No, that was free accommodation. These people didn't know. If you go to a hotel, you pay a lot more. Night browsing, you pay 200 naira one whole night. Okay, I'm just telling the story about those young men. You know, they just came down, like what? So that was that young man that was writing me. I felt like, what are you talking about? What are you leaving behind? Where are you going? Be careful what people call opportunities. Be very, no, I'm going to say something here. What life tries to do is to toss those hindrances in your faces. You toss it in your face, it will appear as if what the Lord wants to do in your life is not doable. He has statements like, if you don't know anybody, you can't do this. Once my wife and I were talking to one of our friends, and we're talking about, you've heard these stories before. They'll tell you that, if you want to enter into the movie industry, you need to know these people. You hear things like that. Yeah. That if you don't connect with the people in Upper Iweka, what's the name of the other place? Idumota. And, well, how do you pronounce it? He wants to teach me. Let him continue. All right, there's a joke about it. Some people call it Ebing Pejolin. It's actually Ebing Pejo. You understand? That's the correct Yoruba word, all right? Ebing Pejo means a gathering of relatives. Ebing Pejo means the snake is hungry. So, Yes, all right. So you are halfway between the two. Now, say if you don't know people in those areas, if you don't know the people that control the market, you can't break in. So when I was talking to one of our friends, my wife and I, and he kept on trying to tell us this thing, that no, they are the ones that control the market. If you don't get to know them, this, and I kept on saying, sir, Ogami, my friend, it's not like that. We are talking as believers. When you hear such news, you are supposed to say, the grace of God working with me, I can do all things. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. That's what I want you to understand. You know, sometimes you hear people when they talk. You know, there are some things people forward around. They come and tell you things like, how Dangote was able to do what he did was because he had government patronage. Anytime you write that nonsense, I delete it. I reply, you say, you obviously don't know anything in life. I don't want to go into that. I don't know Dangote. That's not the issue I'm talking about. But you see, people always try to make excuses for other people's successes. And when they are doing that, they are trying to excuse their own failure. No, it's not the other man's success that is the problem. It's they are trying to tell you why I can't do anything. Do I have the government clout he has? I don't have it. That's why I'm going to fail. No, really. That is a problem with people. So that anytime God gives them an idea, and this is a matter of fact, the good Lord gives people ideas. We use the word ideas for business people, but those of us in ministry, we call it a calling, anointing. We call it anointing, thank you. We deceive the church as if we are the only ones God talks to. The other people, if you are not a preacher, the Holy Spirit doesn't know your household. The Holy Spirit does not understand what you are doing. Just try and succeed and pay him a portion of what you are, whatever you make, and then you will settle. But when you are succeeding, it's by your own strength. But when you have made the money, you share with the Lord. The Lord actually calls even people who are not into what you and I call ministry. I've told you a number of stories, and the reason why I tell those foreign stories is simply because they are the ones that write books. Most of my local people have not written books. So those are the people I'm able to read. But if our local people will write enough books, God does that locally also. I went to preach that. I was telling you about our host. By the time the man finished talking about his life, that God always answers every prayer request I give to him. He said there is nothing I've asked him to do that he has not done. The Lord is good. God helps business people too. He calls, not just helps now, he calls. That's why I was telling you earlier about books I've read. That's why you read books like R.G. Lotono, Mover of Men and Mountains. Read his book. My Life and Work by Henry Ford. Read those people's books. Mary Kay's one that I quote all the time. Maybe what's the name again? Miracles Happen, Mary Kay Ash. Read the stories. You know that God helps you. It's not only preachers. Preachers are the ones that preach. That's why we tell our stories a lot. But we're not the only ones that God helps. He helps everybody. Not only helps, he has called everybody. He stimulates ideas, what we call calling, anointing. We preachers use interesting words. But I want you to know, you know, he said that the Lord said to I should do this. He says that to business people also. He says that to married women in their homes, raising their children. He speaks to them. He does. You read the story of Ben Carson. How did he become what he is today? When he was misbehaving very badly, his mother went and prayed. And she said to them, to the two sons, let me see what the Lord will say. Ben Carson said he could not sleep because he knows that the Lord will say something to his mother. And next day, the mother came with what the Lord said. All the Lord said to the woman is that your sons will not watch TV again. They only had a maximum number of programs they could watch a week. All their fantastic programs, that's the end of it. That's what the Holy Spirit said to her. Your sons will start reading. So he told them every week he will read two books and give me a summary. They did not know she could hardly read the summary. And that was how his life changed. Because just by reading regularly, like the mother said, the Lord said, you understand my point? She should affect in their lives. Suddenly he realized that being intelligent was not so difficult. Because suddenly he realized that he now knew things his classmates did not know. It caused his confidence to rise. He became a confident man. Then now he could now apply himself to his studies. Those are the ways by which God helped him. My emphasis is not on Ben Carson, but on the mother. The Lord ministered to the woman. And she executed what the Lord said to her. And her sons became successful. And one of them became a world-renowned figure. The Lord speaks to people. Listen to me. The Lord actually tells people who to marry and tells them who not to marry. It's how he says that's the issue. Many times when God wants to tell somebody, marry this person, You know what the women start look very common? Even, no, did I say women? I'm sorry. Women, I apologize. Why did I think it's you? It's not you. Both men and women do this foolish thing. I'm about to tell you. Apostle, listen to it. Your wife will look at you and check the number of younger ones you have and realize you're a bad case. That this guy is the firstborn. He's just graduating. He's the next one to him is just about to enter university. The one after that is in GS3, about to enter SS1. The one after that one is in primary 6, about to go into GS1. And one is still writing. And the father is either late or does not have money. And so the women start checking. Ha! Omo, this guy has responsibilities. I'm not here to teach on marriage, but hear just one word. The grace is sufficient for you and him. Yes. Grace is sufficient. People seem responsible to be running. Look, those children will finish school 15 years down the line. They finished too. Honestly, 15 years. What is wrong with struggling financially? No, it's not when I say struggling now. Being, having things. Oh, I just realized that my anniversary is on Monday. On Monday, I'll be married for 18 years. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, thank the, we thank God. I'm just trying to say that it's not a long time. That's the emphasis. So for 15 years, you're helping somebody, helping the other person. Of course, it's not as bad as 15, actually. In most cases, it's not going to take you that long. What's the big deal? What's your life about? It's not to help other people. I'm talking about what? Grace being sufficient. You see better man won't marry you, or you see better girl. Serious, God-loving woman like this. You dey fear, say she be firstborn. Look, be careful. Let God not look at your case and just write it off. Just look, this guy, his head is not correct. And when the Lord says your head is not correct, I feel sorry for you. Every rational thing you do in life will be stupid. You will say 2 plus 2 for you to be 22. Every time you calculate 2 plus 2. Don't do things that the Lord will just decide that this guy, forget him. I'm serious. You see men, they will see serious woman like this. Serious girl. Loves the Lord. They've chased this girl for 3 months already. They pray, they thought they have her auntie. She just says, ah! One day you just discover there are 7 in the family. And she's number 1. And she's the one that just graduated. The guy will now say, the Holy Spirit began to minister to me. All this nonsense Holy Spirit that ministered to people. The real Holy Spirit is not afraid of challenges. The real Holy Spirit can tackle challenges anytime. Terry Mize wanted to marry Jackie. I like to tell the story. And Jackie warned him that I can't have children. And he said, why? He said, because the doctor said so. The guy said, nonsense. That what did the doctors know? Took up the challenge. And said, we'll handle this matter with the word of God. She had children. She was tired of having them. Wrote a book, Supernatural Childbirth. Many people see challenges and disappear. Small challenge, they've run. Race. The guy told him straight, and the guy said, okay, good, that makes it a challenge we have to face. Face the challenge with God's word. My grace is what? Sufficient. That's what he said. When I see the way children of God make decisions sometimes, it's just very, very annoying. Especially when it comes to geographical location. You see, the one that gets me upset is when they tell me that power fails in Nigeria. And I keep on looking, I say, are you a manufacturer? What do you do with power? I don't know whether you get my point. What do you do with more than fan? What do you need it for? No, I'm curious about it. Your whole life, decision because of constant power, and you don't manufacture anything. You don't have an industry. You don't make furniture. You don't do anything. You don't need anything that requires diesel. Not just to sleep. Do you need dresses for the clothes that don't need iron are the cheapest. Those ones that you pay a lot of money for, you have to iron them. So they are even saving you money. So just buy clothes that don't need ironing. Am I lying? All those shirts, they tell you wash and wear. They are cheap. If I put iron, now you go no say, they know why they sold you wash and wear. Before you finish putting the iron. The life will not be the same again. No, when they tell the shirt is 100% cotton, 100% linen, try and iron it. The iron will be, you'll be sweating. When they say wash and wear, put iron first. Iron will bore a hole in it. Pew! What am I saying? If there's no power to iron, buy a cheaper shirt. You now see an adult make decisions, say the power is not constant. And you're looking like, are you all right? My wife and I were analyzing this morning. Where don't you have challenges in this life? I was telling her about about the policeman that just got was found not guilty yesterday. Why was he on trial? He shot a man who was begging him, don't shoot me. Nothing. The guy didn't do anything. Do you think law enforcement in Nigeria where police have their problems? Go to America. Policemen shoot civilians every day. And the only reason why you know now is because of social media. It was 10 times as bad as what it is right now before. But there was no social media. And why did they shoot this particular guy? He told the guy, somebody, you know, the men were drunk, you know, they were drinking. Somebody called police because of one thing. The guy said, please don't shoot me. The policeman said he thought he was drawing a gun. The guy's trouser was sagging. He wanted to pull up his trouser. And the guy shot him 5 times in quick succession. He got there. The guy was not, he didn't even have a blade on him. Well, you think there's no challenge somewhere? My very good friend in the U.S. told me that, he's a bank. They organized birthday for his daughter. That not one person showed up. Not one. The girl goes to school. In fact, all her classmates. Not one soul came. If my wife dares do birthday for one of my children and invite all the classmates, the people in the next class will hear. You know now. You know. So everywhere has its challenges. People making decisions. But let me not even sit on that, because it has a way of getting me angry. This is what I'm trying to make. Challenges will always come, but God says what? My grace is sufficient. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It's sufficient. You need to make a decision concerning your career, concerning your marriage, concerning where you locate your life, you know, where you settle, concerning your ministry, concerning your business. When you are making those decisions, always bear in mind that it says, my grace is sufficient. Don't let obstacles be the reason why you will not do what you want to do. Be more concerned about, do I have the grace for this? Like the man I told you I was talking with. He said, am I sure I can go to that area to go and preach the gospel? I said, sir, don't worry. It's because you have not been called. If you have been called, the grace will come. So you're asking yourself, do I have grace in this area? That's all. But as for the challenges, don't worry about them. I've told you this many times. When I started ministry, people would say, why don't you make it a church? I say, why? They say, look, if this Bible study, this teaching ministry thing, you are going to have problem with money. So all these people you are seeing, they are not loyal. Emeka is not loyal. Ima is not loyal. Chuks is not loyal. Chima is not loyal at all. So people are not loyal. What do I mean, lack of loyalty? They said they will listen to you free of charge on Saturday and then take their tithes and offering to their churches on Sunday. So where does that leave you? So I say, what are you saying therefore? He said, it's simple. He said, you're already doing church. Just change it to Sunday service. That way you can collect the tithes and you can collect the offerings. I said, Father. Of course, you don't argue with everybody. I just say, I've heard. If I make, you know, there are decisions I will make. The Lord will put me out of ministry. That one, of course, I don't need to tell you I didn't do that. Nothing wrong with starting a church. Nothing wrong with it. But that reason is evil. To do what I'm supposed to do, that was supposed to be a child, that money will be a problem. You know, but God, you know, grace has a way of helping people. My own grace is that it's not a trouble. We just limit our expenses. No money, no problem. Just limit the expenses. But you know the wisdom God gave us? That's what the Bible calls wisdom for salvation. Our own wisdom for salvation is that 99.9% I've preached from this place is available today, recorded. That was our own wisdom for salvation. Did you hear what I said? Since 2003, preaching every Saturday here, Monday from January to November, and then later on, adding one other, after like a year, we added a second meeting, which is now Tuesday School of Prayer. Okay? Since then till now, everything I have preached here is available for you to listen to on recorded. Recorded. And how did we start it? It was not hard. Just went and bought a small Sony recorder, put it down there, hold the microphone, even when we're literally two or three gathered, we recorded it. You know, you hear messages like man on assignment, we're not up to six. Understand the new covenant, the same number. We just kept on recording, and we still record till today. And our recording kept on getting better and better and better. And guess what? Our equipment hardly got more expensive. God gave us wisdom. When people hear our recording now, they think we have the two-chest recording system. They don't know that we have the most basic. People have asked, how do you do this recording? That is crystal clear. Yeah, all we just do, there's no money, no problem. So I've been to church before. They say, you see equipment, 10 million naira. Israel, if we get 10 million naira for equipment, we'll be on TBN by tomorrow morning. I'm telling you, Now, one of my friends says that, look, we'll just reduce our expenses. Just reduce expenses. Make things very, very easy. When we used to record for radio those days, people could not believe that to do the radio program, what used to go on, me and Kingsley, we would sit down. Everything we were done with one mic and one laptop. My audience many times was just my wife. Just my wife. Yeah, baby, sit down here. I want to preach to the whole of Eastern Nigeria on Cosmo FM. So you will sit down. She will sit down there. I will teach her the word for 30 minutes and quickly edit and rush the radio station. Give it to them. We just reduce the expenses. I'm going to explain something here. We did not accept for the hindrance that you will not get money. Do you understand? To now turn the ministry to what it's not supposed to be. Every ministry has an order from heaven. Yes, there's a way God says it should be. And the reason why you will not collect the correct order is when people start tossing hindrances in your face. I want to emphasize, all right, that the grace of God is always sufficient. When you identify what you are supposed to do and you now find hindrances, don't worry about the hindrances. Grace will come to overcome them. Oh, grace will come. Grace will come. Grace will come. Don't let hindrances decide what your life is going to be. Don't let the fear of there are giants in the land stop you from entering into the promised land. You hear Christians talk sometimes, you're like, what? They say, no, you can't go into that kind of business. There's a cartel. And God said, I exist, in quote, in your life to break cartels for the fun of it. I don't know what I hear what I said. That is, how else will you know you have a God if you don't take cartels on? I don't know whether you are following me. How else will you know your God, who is your father, is called, you know one name they call him? The man of war. You know they call the man of war? Which means that, it means he has to fight. I don't know. When they say he's a man of war, our God is a man of war. When you see the name, the Lord of hosts, it means the Lord, the captain of the host, the armies of heaven. And you'll be telling him that we can't do this business because there are cartels. And God says, I break cartels for the fun of it. Just for that, like, guys, anything to do this morning? And in heaven, they just say, anything to do today? Say, Lord, everything is at peace. Say, no cartel to break. I'm telling you. When you now hear believers explaining to you that they can't do because there is a cartel. And that they will talk about offering to God a sacrifice of what? Of thanksgiving. I explained it. That God said people need to learn to, you know, look for, now please, get what I'm going to say. Just look for trouble. So you can call upon the name of the Lord. That's what we are saying. You don't sit down and start drawing the reasons why it cannot be done. No, you can't do that. Be drawing the reasons why it cannot be done. And that's the reason why a child of God will not do what he knows is right now. Let me say it like this. I want to leave this statement out for a moment. I want to leave out what God wants him to do. Because the question always is, how do I know God wants me to do this? Right? And I don't want to tackle that now. But there's an easy way to explain it. A child of God must not find excuses to refuse to do what he or she knows is right to do. That's the way to put it. You know, there are times you just know something is right. You just know it is right. I don't know how to explain it. You just know it is right. You know, launching out, it's time to start your own business. Enough of working for other people. I'm not saying it's wrong to work for other people. Daniel worked for other people all his life. You get my point? It's now time for me to get up and go and start creating jobs. I know, listen, Satan will never leave you alone. In fact, if everything looks perfect, listen to this. If everything looks perfect, then it's likely it is not right. I didn't say it is not right. Just say what? There's a likelihood. Everything cannot look perfect. And the Bible says, if you have this, I think it's a New Living Translation or Living Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. It says, anyone waiting for conditions to be perfect gets nothing done. If you read a more traditional Bible, you say, he that watches the wind will not sow, and he that observes the cloud will not reap. But read one of those paraphrases, like Good News Bible, New Living Translation, one of them. Say, anyone waiting for conditions to be perfect will get nothing done. You are waiting for perfect conditions, you will get nothing done. You are waiting for power to be constant, you will not start an industry. You are getting my point? And let me say something about life. My wife and I, we spend a lot of time analyze life. Eh? And life has proven to be so unpredictable. You can't predict it. You have to just believe it. Are you getting my point? Yes, you just have to believe God in life. Life has proven to be so unpredictable. Sometimes, you know, I remember one of the examples my wife and I started those days used to look at life was toll gates. There were businesses built around toll gates. Because every car will stop here to pay toll, shops opened around. You know, in Onitsha End there. Massive market in that area. Then one day, President Obasanjo came into power in Nigeria and said the management of the toll gates didn't like it. So he said they should change those who are managing toll gates nationwide. Those ones went to court and said that they have a contract to manage toll gates given to them. That from the previous administration, they had their contracts. Okay, fine. Obasanjo said, no trouble. And I think court said they were right. And you know, say, Oga Obas, the man knew how to be president. He said, there's no trouble. So he said, at that time, he adjusted the price of petroleum products, pump prices. So he said the extra pump price that we are paying, he will subsidize it by eradicating the need to pay at toll gates. Overnight, efficiency. Federal Ministry of Works went around, overnight demolished all toll gates in Nigeria. That was over 16 years ago. Now, that's what I'm not making. Today, your business was thriving because everybody stopped at the toll gate. Tomorrow, there were no warning. You just took a bank loan last week to expand your toll gate business. The following week, I know banks are very wicked people. Very wicked. You know what banks are? A man that lends you an umbrella when there's no rain, collects it as soon as the rain starts. So that's a bank for you. He only gives you money when he knows you have money. Bankers, don't be angry. I'm just telling you the truth about your life. The Lord is good. So you can imagine, people like that, life is so unpredictable. Are you getting my point? That you just have to accept that grace can work for you. Yes. It's so unpredictable. That's just the way life is. I tell people all the time, you know, I look at, in fact, I'll tell you something in a moment. I'm going to make you laugh. I look at, you know, social media and all of that. Just a few years ago, internet was there. You understand my point? It was there. Okay, let's not even talk about when internet came up. Internet was there just a few years ago. But mobile internet was different. Every internet, you had to go and sit down in front of a computer. Yes. Then one day, I still remember the advert for the iPhone. I still remember they would show you a small phone with that tiny screen, 4-inch screen, or 3-point-something, I think about 4-inch screen. And they said, this is the internet. This is not sort of like the internet. This is not a scaled-down version of the internet. This is the internet. That was how iPhone was advertised. The iPhone came out. Suddenly, real internet came to the hands. But iPhone is expensive, we all know. Then God just, of course, The Google people bought Android over, released Android, and then Samsung released their first Android, no, the Galaxy S, powered with Android. Then after a while, the Chinese people looked and started making cheaper phones. A few years down the line, every Tom, Dick, and Harry worldwide has the internet in the palm of his hands. That was what made Mark Zuckerberg the fourth richest man in the world. He could not have planned it. Because Facebook, when I say you have 1 billion users, 900 million use it on their mobiles. Now people can advertise without paying a dime. Yeah, you can advertise your products without paying a dime. You wear a dress, put it on your DP. To buy, call me. Are you getting my point? Look, in the US, in Europe, what they call brick and mortar shops, many started closing down. One of the big chains closed one third of their shops just about 2 weeks ago in the UK. Look, let me not be giving you too much of this. Life just starts switching. You wake up one day, it's like this. Tomorrow, it switches another thing. Even ministry is not the way it used to be. Before, you'd be looking for invitation and looking for money to organize programs. Now, there are Facebook preachers. And they have massive audience. This one, Daddy Freeze, is saying he's a Bible teacher. It's not because of... Let Daddy Freeze go and hire a whore. Who will have remembered that? All that thing he's saying, who will have listened to him? But just because of the internet, he got up and said, I'm a Bible teacher. And he has following. Now, and that's what the man does, the Facebook thing, what they call YouTube. YouTube videos. Said, today I'm talking about speaking in tongues. Yes. Oh, he's not a titan man alone, no. He talks on speaking in tongues, second coming of Christ, every kind of thing. Oh, the guy, you see what I'm saying? The guy has a church right now. One of my sisters said her church is called Church on the Air. Yeah, I'm serious. Air.church, that's the name of her big church. No, I'm serious. Just go Google. No, just type air.church. Pops up. Life just changes. So there's nothing predictable. That's the point I'm making. Now, for us as believers, that's an advantage. That gives us confidence. Yeah, it's supposed to give us confidence. Even people who did not listen, you know, even those who don't know the word of God, they know, like Pastor Kwaju will say, live long enough, you will understand, you will discover the word of God, you will understand life just by living. Steve Jobs, before he died, he made a statement, very profound. He said, you can never connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backwards. Now, how will you get to where you are going? He said, you can't be sure. You just keep doing things. But one day you look back, you will see how you got here. He's not a man of God, but he discovered life. So when you are starting, he said, just believe in something. And I said, this man is preaching faith. He said, just believe in something. He said, call it any name you like. He said, it can be karma, it can be locked. He was just saying, in effect, understand that there is a power bigger than you there. That your success in life is not your own doing. You understand what I'm trying to say, therefore, that believers who now have a promise, lo, I am with you always. I will not leave you helpless. The Holy Spirit will come and be with you. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. The Lord will perfect everything that concerns me. If God be for me, who will be against me? They have all these promises. Yeah, they are the ones counting the obstacles as a problem. Abba. No wonder Solomon said, I've seen princes trekking. Because those that have the promises are now the ones counting obstacles as a problem. One word you will see in the Bible, especially in the old, in the book of Revelations, again and again, is the word overcomer. Yeah, think about it. To him that overcomes. You find that word again and again. That tells you the way life is supposed to be. Life is what? It's load of what? Challenges that are supposed to be surmounted. That's why God rewards overcomers. It's a load of challenges that are supposed to be surmounted. So he said to the believer, he said, you can. You are getting my point? He said, I'm with you always. That's why we're talking about grace. Please get the point. If you know what is right to do, the obstacles of life must not be a reason why you will not do those things. Many times I hear people, you know, when people talk about the country, I would have loved to settle back in Nigeria. It's just, you know, they'll tell you the just why they can't do this. You know, I wrote a blog the other day. You can get to our blog and read it. What I call them, keep trucking. Something like that, yes. And I explained that, you know, one thing I noticed about life, with all the troubles, one day after another, we just keep in quotes now, we keep surviving. You know, when we're young, those days in school, we thought that when we graduate from school, all problems will be over. So we just survived school. Are you getting my point? But the emphasis is we survived. And we overcame. I mean, we passed. Did we not pass? That was the overcoming for that season. That was the overcoming for that season. They were posted to NYC. I remember somebody like me. The day I checked my deployment, my mother was worried. And she said, what are we going to do? That's what she said. She said, what are we going to do now? I was posted to Taraba State. Now, I'm not exaggerating. My mother had never heard of the word Taraba. No, listen. She had never heard the expression Taraba. Say, she's not a Nigerian. How will you know Taraba when it was just being created? And it's not in the southwest. It's in one corner. Is that not northeast? A little bit above central zone. From Gongola. So when I came from school, I just finished my house job, went to school to pick up my call-up letter. I go home, my mother said, what did they post you? I said, Taraba State. She said, what is so-called? I said, you know Gongola? I said, yes. I said, Gongola was broken into two, Adamawa and Taraba. I remember she sat down. Her countenance fell. She said to me, what are we going to do? And I said, what we are going to do is I'm going to pack my bag. What are we going to do? Tomorrow morning, I'm hitting the road. My camp is in Wukari. What are we going to do? Tomorrow, I'm going to Wukari. I said, the Lord is going to bless me there, and I'm going to become very rich. I didn't make that part, but at least the other one was correct. The Lord bless me. I said that to my mother. She tried to get me to talk about it. I've been stubborn for a very long time. Father God, I worship you. Thank you for stubborn. I've been stubborn for a very long time. Like I was telling my wife this morning, it's good to be stubborn on good things. Do you know why? Years later, she referred to it. She said, you have a way of putting somebody's mind at rest. That just by the way. If I agreed with her, I said, what are we going to do? She said, what do we do? I said, what do we do, mommy? What do we do? Frankie, what do we do? The worry would have been intensified. It would have been intensified. I just got to pack my bag, of course. I didn't know where I was going, so I had to go get direction. Got direction from people, very wrong direction, but at least eventually we got there. No, very, very wrong, very wrong. They made me cross River Benue by boat. They didn't know where they were going to. Nobody knew where I was going. So they said, I should go from Ikare to Auchi. From Auchi, I should go here. Only for me to get to one place. River Benue, no bridge. How do people cross here? They said, sea ferry. If you have a car, you enter the ferry, they put on the ferry for you. You don't have, enter this boat. And no, that's a boat. I'm sorry. Canoe. When you call it boat, now people think it's a boat. It's not a boat. It was a canoe I had to enter. It was a canoe. I'm serious. The Lord is good. Now, why did I get into that? My brethren, we survived the year. That's the point I'm trying to make. With all the challenges, we survived the year. I know the truth. As we were surviving, we were increasing. They have a saying in Western Nigeria. Say, the child that does not die must become an adult. Oh, yes, you will become an adult. Just don't die. That's all. The only thing that will prevent you from being an adult is death. It's a saying in Western Nigeria. Alanka, do you know how it is said? I've been suspecting you for a long time. This Enugu has wiped away all the... They say, but Oku, Agbalonda, go home and tell the story. That is good. Yeah, it's a saying. So what I'm trying to say is that we just survived it. No, that's it. The year passed, we finished, we came back. For me, residency began. Now so. One day we finished. One day, I saw one girl. I survived marrying her. That was 18 years ago. The Lord is good. Believe me, I survived it. All right. We came to Enugu. People say, can you be going to Enugu? Hey, we survived it. Amen? I've been here since the year 2000. And you know, just by surviving it, we're overcoming each step of the way. And believe me, I'm not anymore that little boy that entered University of Benin or went for NYC that time. As of today, there is nowhere I go, at least now, that I will not encounter somebody that God has used me to bless. Now, as of today, now. You are getting my point. All these while people were telling stories of there's no power, water is not constant, roads are bad, there's insecurity. I've been hearing these stories since I was in university. And some people are still telling these stories till today. While they were telling the stories, God was blessing people. People were increasing their debt telling the stories. Like I always tell people, if you are going to Onitsha, the road is bad, you will still go. You will say, because the road is good, is bad, you are not going to Abagliki. What you do, you surmount the obstacle. Even if the bridge collapses, you will park there, cross by leg, take keke on the other side, and continue going. That's how life is. Each day will take the challenge. Please go and read that blog. I call it Keep Trucking. And that, look, listen, when grace is working, that's how it is. People are looking for conditions to be perfect before they get things done. No, conditions will never be perfect. You know, when people see somebody like Dangote who became the African richest man, richest black man because of the investments he made in what they call a bad climate, they have to look for an explanation. It's because government helped him. Now, hear ye the word of the Lord. Government will help you too. Yeah. Let's leave it like that, Abby. That's it. No, it's not making stupid excuses. I still got that right to one of my classmates forwarded it today. I said, come here, enough of this crap. Who wants to be reading this crap? Analysis of how government helped Dangote. You think government doesn't help people? Go to America. Americans know that the only people that can provide, housing for the government can't do it. So what they do, if they see you are doing it, they help you. He said, government helped Dangote. In case you do not know, go and talk to Yinka. Government has been trying to help Nigerians for a long time. Are they coming? Ask Yinka. No, please, I'm not kidding. No, go and meet him. He will tell you the amount of government help available today. You were telling me the other day of a woman who bought a rice mill. What's the value of the rice mill? 12.9 million naira. How much did she pay? No. For those who are not hearing, he said 12.9 million, the value of the rice mill. The woman paid 700,000. Government only gives a little condition. They will agree with you where you will place it, but it's your own. Why? They know if you take the rice mill, you will help the farmers and help the population. I forgot to ask you one part. Was it because she knew somebody? Was it available for other people? How did she get it? Nobody else was asking. Please. Olainka, are there not, look, are other machines available like that? As at now, Nigeria Industrial, is it, what do you call it? Bank of Industry. What percentage are they charging? 9%. Your banks charge 25%. Olainka, sorry, normally, you have to bribe somebody. No, you know, Nigerians don't believe these things. They will sit in their homes, saying, government helped him. Meanwhile, government is begging on a daily basis, please, let me help you. The only thing government does that they want to be sure that you are adding value either to agriculture. You know, you have to be manufacturing. That's the area. If you say you want to buy and sell, they will answer you. But is it machine? You want machines? No problem. Let us see what you want to do with it. We'll give you the money, 9%. And government has dropped billions of naira to help people. But they are so sure government only helps Dangote. They will sit in their homes and be complaining country is bad. You'll be amazed at the amount of government help that's available. No, Rocket was still there, presenting in our institution the other day, telling people, say, look, guys, as of today, government still lends people money to build houses. So just find a way to connect so you can collect your portion. It's 6% fixed. They don't vary it since the days of Babangida. No, most Nigerians don't know it exists. Oh, they don't know. They don't know it exists. And they fill their heads with, soothsaying from the East, the Bible says. Yes. People just be believing lies every day. Government only helps Dangote. Man, government is helping everybody. In case you don't know, governments everywhere help people. Oh, everywhere they help people who do big things. I told you that Aliko Dangote's refinery, the one he built in Ekpe, American government put in $1 billion. I know some fools, when they hear that, they say, yes, they've been trying to empower the North to take over from the South. Nonsense.
May God help you. Honestly, you know, this "we can't" attitude is ruining things that God wants to do in our lives. God, listen, let me give you prophecy again. God will help you.
Amen.
Remember I said something. Grace does not make you lazy. Grace makes you get ideas, makes you get up and start pursuing the ideas. Sometimes you have ideas that grace does not like. Grace will close it. And even though grace closes it, grace says, at least you learned something. Yes. Oh, grace will say, at least you learned something. There's nothing you pursue you won't learn from. Sometimes God will just use that one to teach you. Next time, don't pursue like that. And that's a lesson you can't... Look, invaluable. Lessons of life, you can't pay for them. Who's going to sell it to you? They're too expensive. So just get up. Okay, yes, we did that one, we lost. Believe me, you didn't lose. You gained something you could not have learned in business school. I mean, people go every day. Pay hundreds of thousands to go to business school. You get an MBA and learn next to nothing. I'm not lying. Ask my wife. Did you not do executive MBA with my money? It's not small money. Let me ask you a question. Baby, no, be honest. Tell this woman the truth. Where did you learn more from? From the money you gave them at Esut Business School? Or from selling tie and shirt? Of course, you don't even need to answer. Even they know the answer. The Lord is good. What are we talking about? Grace. I'm like, look, people. Stop looking for stories for why you can't succeed, why you can't do it, why ministry can't move. Grace is available to overrun those excuses. As for those, I don't know why I feel like going back there. Marry that girl. Yes. And if it is a man, marry him too. In fact, you are blessed. You will end up, you will build a house worth 1 billion naira because you had 10 younger ones to take care of. Listen to me. This is a prophetic word. If you ever have younger ones to take care of, you are blessed.
Amen.
It is more blessed when you are very hungry, when you are taking care of them. Yes. People be looking for serious thing. No, they'll be looking at serious thing. They'll be looking for nonsense thing. What I say, one day a girl was getting married. In this say no go incidentally. I say, oh, that girl is very lucky. So as the person telling me, another girl. Of course, all these ignorant people that God has not taught anything. I say, why do you say she's lucky? Why? She was marrying, you know, the kind of person that's wedding. Eh? Okay, imagine that somebody's wedding now. Vice president comes. You get my point? Odigi Oyegun arrives. That's chairman, APC. Uh-huh. And I hear that Chris Ngige flew in. That kind of person getting married. That's it. That kind of power. Say, oh, that girl is very lucky. So I asked her, what is lucky? You know, when God has taught you things, you know, when you hear foolishness, you are trying to make wisdom out of it. I'm like, what is lucky about it? I'm like, oh. And I said, oh, that's what you call lucky? My heart sank. You call that luck? Have you never heard that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses? People will see blessing. The Bible says it's more blessed to give. So you see somebody who God has given the opportunity to be constantly giving for the next 10 years. And you say he has too many responsibilities. Listen, let me tell you a believer's reason. If the young man or young woman had told you that, you know, my father died that time, but you know, there was one trust fund he set up for us. It's maturing now. I'm supposed to start collecting, you know, 1 million every month for the next 10 years. Have you read this joke? There's one joke I saw recently. One guy who in church, some of you might have read the joke. He was in church and the lady beside him, her phone fell. So he helped her pick the phone. And in that instant, he saw credit alert 10 million naira, 10 or 16 million naira. And he returned the lady's phone and said, eh, or more. This girl sit down here, keep 16 million for account. He said, let's follow up. Three months later, he had done introduction. It's supposed to be a joke, so, all right? Next thing, before he knew what's happening, he has married a girl. Then they got married, a few days after they got married.
There was another credit alert on the girl's phone. 6 million naira. The girl said, hey, I've told my auntie to change my number from her account to... The guy said, eh? He said, my auntie was living abroad. She opened an account. So they asked her number for SMS alert. She just put my number. Said, since that time, I'll be getting all these alerts. She's a big businesswoman. The guy started panting, eh? The money they get on a alert basis, not knowing that the money was not her own. Now, why I told the story is that imagine, so if that young woman told that my father left money for us, I'm collecting 1 million every month. We used to say you are praying. You wouldn't pray. You would give the Lord thanks. Father will bless you for the abundance of good things. There's a Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get well. Pastor Courage and I, we spoke yesterday. Pastor Courage is one man that says much more than me that the Lord said to me. He's one person that says much more than me that go and pray and hear God. You hardly hear me say things like that. Yet he said to me, yes, they were talking. He said, people only hear what they want to hear. Yes, they were talking. He said, I heard God. He said, I've realized no matter what God says, it is what you want to hear, you will hear. Is that not what we have been preaching?
Yeah.
What am I trying to say? People that say, I heard God, they didn't hear God, they heard their lads. Yes, now. I'm talking about Christian mindset. And the Bible now says it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that if you had to choose between a man or a woman, two of them, who one says, I'll be getting credit a lot every month because of what my father did before he died. 1 million every month. Or one says, I have 5 younger ones who will be queuing up at our doorsteps to pay school fees and get allowance. God says, it is better. It is better to reach for the people that are going to collect from you than to reach for the ones that are going to give to you. That it is more blessed is the word of Jesus. You read your Bible, you hear Paul said, God said to me, Peter said, this one, Paul said, I told you what Jesus said, that the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you don't believe that, you're not a believer. Many Christians don't really believe anything. They don't. If you really believed, if they say, Angela, you want to marry this person? Say, yes. Why? He said, he's a nice guy. He loves the Lord. He's struggling in his business now, but I know he's a hardworking person. Listen, with good support, we are going to bless people in this life. And I have this call. I have this sense of calling that we're going to support ministry, you know, preaching ministry, you know. So I feel like it's a good man. We're going to do business together. God will bless us. Meanwhile, the guy, anytime he comes to your house, he draws from a keke. So your friends are looking at you. Like, Angela, the weed you smoked, where did they grow this one? You say they grew it in the Bible, in scripture. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be drunk with the Spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Is the Colossian equivalent of that Ephesian quotation? You say, Angela, are you sure? He said, is it not that same brother that the other day I heard that he's the firstborn and he has like 5 younger ones? Yes, that's the part of it I just discovered. And I said, my God. He said, what did your God do this time? He said, I discovered that there is a blessing in his life. And I've made up my mind that will help him, not any of those his younger ones will fail to go through school completely. Any level they want to get to. And your friends look and say, all right, we'll be praying for you. When you hear that, just know you are made. Of course, you talking. Nobody say you get anything. No. He just started a hairdressing salon that 2 clients a week. You first 1 week, it has increased now. They're getting like 10 now, 1 whole week. And you are beginning to prophesy. Oh, those are the people, believe me, that will do great things in this life. You find 2 people like that, one day they'll give out $1 billion in check. Just say, okay, for the gospel, 1 billion. Next week, they say, oh, for another billion. That is what God will do.
Amen.
That's what is called what? Grace. Remember, that's where I wanted to get to, but I didn't get it today. Well,
The Lord is good. Like I was saying, see, that grace has to be activated. That's what I wanted to preach. It has to be what?
Activated.
You have to know it is there. You dig up for it and say, this thing, you must walk in my life. You must walk in my life. Anytime you see challenges, start warming up. Say, man, grace, you must be activated. You will walk. That's why we read from Romans chapter 4. He said, it has to be by faith that it might be what? In accordance with grace. All these things we have been teaching, they are for the activation of grace, that we might walk righteously and in holiness. That we might walk righteously and in holiness and fulfill every good thing that God wants us to fulfill in life. There's grace for supernatural marriage. You know that? Yes. They say you're a very stubborn person. Grace will come into you, make you the humblest woman on the surface of the earth. Yes, that's what it will do. All your stubbornness will vanish. Supernatural grace will come. Make you a very joyful wife. You'll be a husband. Your husband will be in cloud, what? I don't know. All the time. You'll be wondering whether you are real, touching you, whether you're an angel. That's what grace does. We activate what? Grace. By faith. What is that faith? We take God's word. Like I was talking about this imaginary angel and now who wants to marry. Everything, just say, this is what God says. Say, but this other person and that guy, he has money waiting for you. In fact, I heard him say that if you agree to marry him, he's giving you a new Venza as a wedding present. Don't even be tempted. Tell them all flesh is grass and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. Tell them a young bride's life does not consist in the abundance of the wedding gifts you collect. That's the word of God. When you speak like that, grace is pushing you. I don't know whether you're getting my point. When you speak like that, you are releasing the power of heaven. Listen, it may not work overnight. Literally have to struggle that first 10 years. But believe me, I like what the pastor Poju said once. He said, success is so powerful, it erases the memories of failure. The time will come, God will release so much blessing upon you. You will wonder that people say you struggle for 10 years. The only recollection you have of it is the joy that came from giving. I don't know whether I get my point. It's the joy that came from giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's bow down our heads. Just give God thanks for grace. Just give God thanks for grace. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I understand that I'm not alone. There's power available to walk with me, to produce what you want to produce out of my life. Paul said, I urge you not to receive this grace in vain. That's what this message has been about. Don't receive it in vain. So pray this evening. Say, Lord, I will not receive this grace in vain. Pray to the Lord. Paul said, we urge you, don't receive it in vain. Let it work. Let it work. Let it purge you of bad habits. Let it purge you of addictions, of wrong thoughts. Let it purge you. Let it purge you. Let it release the gift of God that is in your life. Let it release the gift of God. Let it manifest. Let it. Don't run up and down. Let it. Paul said, don't receive it in vain. Don't receive it in vain. You say to the Lord, I will not receive it in vain. I will not receive it in vain. Say, I boast in my weaknesses. Lord, I boast in my weaknesses. Because when I am weak, that is when I'm actually strong. Say, Lord, when I am weak, that is when I'm actually strong. When I am weak, that is when I am actually strong. I complain no more about my disadvantages. Say, Lord, thank you.